Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwood with you. And what is happening, everyone? Well, only for the third time in history, the bookmakers lost money on the Super Bowl. As did I. I had New England. I thought it would be an easy victory, but they scored 35 or whatever the heck it was, but it wasn't enough. 33. In the meantime, we got to give all the credit in the world. Philadelphia just played them, outplayed them. I beat the crap out of them. And New England couldn't stop them. And there you go. That's how a game is. And at the end of the day, you know, hey, New England is the Philadelphia Eagle. The Eagles are the Super Bowl champion. And we were wrong. It sucks, but we were wrong. And, of course, the markets... We were right on the markets, and they're under pressure. They were under pressure overnight, and of course, you've got a vicious rally coming here somewhere, and I think that rally will be one that we'll want to be a seller of. I don't think that this is now not the time that the dip buyers will get dipped here in crapola. Now I think now is the time to be the rally seller. Things do not look very appealing at the moment, and again, it's not anything but market and what the footprint of the market is telling us. We can obviously see that things are not so rosy at the moment, and you know, again, it's not that we didn't expect it. It's not like it's not happening, and of course, one of the tip-offs that we have to always understand and look at is when a market doesn't rally on news that it should rally on. And of course, I'll use the three examples, but there's many more, but of Caterpillar, McDonald's, and Apple. All three had spectacular earnings. In fact, Apple had the biggest earnings quarter in their history and, of course, got clobbered. And that is what you look at when you look at the markets. You start to understand that when a stock or a market does not go up on news that it should go up, then that's usually somewhat of a problem. And that's exactly what we saw. And again, it's not, you know, it's not unexpected. We have seen this movie before. And at the end of the day, it's not a big deal. Okay, it's part of the overall market action. And that's why we always talk about make sure you understand the market. Okay, not that you don't need an opinion. You just need to understand how markets trade. And markets trade very simply just this way. And I just want you to understand that so that you are prepared as we start to see the market subtly change. So this goes from a buy the dip mentality to a sell the rally mentality. And you can now see the VIX itself is exploding. In fact, it's one point today. It traded over 20 almost. The VXX is exploding. And again, what does that mean? Well, I mean, the VIX got as high as, you know, almost 20. And that just means there's some fear out there and there's a lot of people buying puts. And again, am I telling you to be afraid? No. I'm telling you that most likely, if this continues, the markets are going to continue to sell off. And rallies, instead of dips becoming the opportunity to be a buyer, rallies become the opportunity to be a seller. And I think you're seeing a lot of these things now happen that changed some of the dynamics of the markets. Okay. And again, it's just a subtle little change, but it's a change that you should be ready for so that you're equipped to understand what the market is doing. And that's one of the things we talk about on a regular basis is, do you understand, are you prepared for what the markets are going to bring you? And that's what we always try to prepare for here on the show is, are you prepared for what will happen next? And again, it doesn't guarantee that that's what will happen next, but certainly I think that the markets have peaked. I think they've reached their pinnacle for now. I mean, you know, ask me about 10 years from now, they'll be higher than they are today. But for right now, I think that this is now the short-term ending of the rally. Now, is the actual bull market over yet? I can't say that right now. I can't tell you that the bull market is over. I can tell you that it looks like we're going to start heading lower. It looks like there's a lot of issues. It looks like we should be prepared for that to happen. But does that mean that that is indeed the end? I wish I had the answer, because I would promise I would share it with you. But I would think that you would now see a change. And instead of the crowd, now, the, you know, we still have the emotional side of the market where people will start to believe. And if you remember the Trading Places, that can't be right. The markets can't be going down here. And, of course, that's just one of the signs that we see, you know, and I think that that's just something that you look at and are just to be prepared for. So now it should be, the force should come to the downside. Now, that does not mean or preclude that they're going to be what we like to call in the business, some rip your face off rallies coming. Okay, if we're correct in our assumption that the top of the markets are in, you are going to see what they call the rip your face off rally. That's just going to go mild right up your potatoes. All right. And of course, that's the ones you want to sell. The rallies that now look so good sometimes and so powerful are really driven by the dead cat bounce to shorts. And they then bring you opportunity for more selling. All right, this is the subtle change. Again, this is always, if you go back in history and look, you'll see some of these really sharp rallies. And I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, maybe this rally come in tomorrow. You know, again, there's going to be a big ram job. And again, that'll be when everybody will get spooked again. And that's what we're looking for as traders, okay? The understanding of the market is the experience that we want. And I think that, you know, as we watch them here, you know, and again, that's what I mean. Don't dare try to sell them into the hole. Do not try to sell the bottom. This is not a great momentum play unless you've got a lot of money to sit back and watch it ram up your face, because you're going to get these. They're going to happen. And that's the key to understanding. That's one of the main things that we look at when markets are starting to change the dynamics of what they're looking at. Is when they start to break down, and then you get these rip your face off kind of rallies that come back. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that it'll be today, tomorrow, or whatever, but I do believe that it's very soon, you know, within days, if not sooner, of a rip your face off. Like the futures will be up, you know, Dow might be up 500 overnight or something like that, and that would be the one I'd be looking to sell. And it happens on a regular basis. It happens all the time. And it's just something that I want to be you to be prepared for, especially if you haven't been around in a while. But also be prepared for highschoolinvesting.com. It's something that we've got a program that we have done for 7 years. And we're just looking for some donations now through patreon.com. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And anybody who does donate will be given a free week, free access for a week to our futures advisory service. Which has been doing well, and we're happy to share it with you. But that's, if you help us, we'll try to help you. And also, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And remember, we have a new show now that plays over the weekends. On it's Saturday, 5 Eastern, Crypto Investor X, show I do with Matt Demeter about the Bitcoin world and the cryptocurrency world. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back with Jane King right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our resident genius, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report. What's up, Jane King?
Oh, just sitting here, Todd, watching interest rates start to creep up. So, I don't know. It's becoming a problem.
Well, we talked about that. You and I have talked about that a number of times, and we both felt that interest rates are going to rise, and we both felt that that the lack of rising and the manipulation was a little bit of a problem. And of course, now it is becoming a little bit of a problem. What do you think of that?
It is. And it feels like, this great economic growth that we are seeing and anticipate seeing is starting to drive the 10-year yield higher. And that's going to be causing a problem for this stock market rally and economic growth potentially. So hopefully they can manage this and we can get through it okay. But I mean, it's economics. I mean, economic growth leads to higher interest rates, leads to less growth. I mean, that's just the way it works.
But isn't higher interest rates without being ridiculously high, isn't that a better situation? I mean, doesn't that free up more money to be lent? You know, for years we had the average gal, business had a problem because the banks didn't want to lend them any money because there wasn't a big enough spread. So you get higher interest rates, which should be natural. And that was always my big problem with the Federal Reserve is let the markets dictate what they should be, not you tell us what they should be. What do you think about that?
Well, exactly. And this feels like this is more of a market-driven interest rate increase other than the manipulation that we've been seeing since 2008. So, it's like everything in economics. There's good and there's bad. I mean, it's, you know, it does increase the spread, but then people may not be spending as much if they know that, their costs are going to go up on credit cards or buying cars or so forth. So the whole thing about interest rates is just managing them. I mean, just managing them, making sure they don't jump too much, making sure they're still somewhat where it's indicative of a growing economy, but it's not so much that it's causing everything to slow down. And, you just got to trust everybody, all the economists and the Fed and everybody to manage the situation.
Well, you and I don't trust it. Well, I don't trust the economists. I know you might. I don't. I think economists are stupid. That's just my personal opinion.
That's for sure.
They just don't get it. You know, it's like they say 10 years from now, they're going to say this period might have been a bubble. Okay, they won't say it today. I mean, they'll call Bitcoin a bubble today, but they won't call anything else a bubble. And to me, that's the real issue is the manipulation. I mean, do we think the dollar is getting hammered right now because the free markets are deciding the dollar? Or do we think that the central banks and the Fed are selling dollars because the interest rate markets are going up on their own? They have to keep a dollar cheaper because it actually helps keeps artificial rates lower, even though they're going higher in the open market. What do you think of that?
Well, it helps energy and commodity prices too. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, I think we do know that there's definitely the hand of the government that goes into managing these things. And as long as there's nothing crazy to the downside, the public just kind of keeps going along. And sometimes I think that's all they want is just to stem a revolt. They don't want anybody to revolt. And as long as nobody's revolting, then they'll just keep doing what they're doing.
Well, I actually say, so that's a great point. Now, I say that the cryptocurrency world, the Bitcoin and those, are actually a financial revolution. That's their way of rebelling right now. Now, obviously, we've seen them get hammered lately, but I mean, just the sure advent of the space is a revolution against the Fed and the government. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I was talking to a guy this week, did an interview with the guys involved in Microsoft early on, the CIA early on, peer guy, retired at 37 or something ridiculous, and big cryptocurrency guy, and in fact got out of retirement because of blockchain and because of cyber currencies. And he was just so fascinated and thought the argument for them was so revolutionary and so compelling that it brought him out of retirement. So, he said, I'm never, ever selling my cyber currencies. Never going to sell them. And so it was interesting to hear really smart people talk about where we're going, because it's still a little hard to grasp. I mean, the cyber currencies and where's this going, and you hear governments and they're going to regulate. And, it's been a very tough month of January, but January is typically the worst month of the year for cyber currencies.
Yeah, no, I mean, it all makes sense. And of course, you can see why there's revolt, because when you see people like Gutierrez walking out when they're chanting USA, USA, and you see Nancy Pelosi sitting there like she needs a root canal, not a very good representation from the left during the State of the Union. And I understand you have to be something, but you could, for things that are neutral, that you should be standing for and cheering for. You should be not walking out when the whole house is going USA, USA. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just, I watched the speech, I mean, my kids watched the speech, and I was trying to kind of teach them about government and all the people who were walking in and who they all were and what this was all about. And even they were like, what is going on with those people? Why aren't they clapping? And why are they looking so angry? And it was just, I think that, I'm sure they had some strategy behind that, that we're not supporting this and we're catering to, you know, the far left of the party. But it looked terrible. I mean, it looked embarrassing. It looked like they were children. And I don't think that helped them in their quest to take over the House in 2018. I think that really hurt them.
I agree. Listen, Nancy Pelosi needs an enema, so she should be fine. But so what was your thoughts of the speech and the delivery?
I thought it was really good. I mean, I had the same feeling about the moments that were key, like the North Korean defector. I thought, to me that night, I thought that was the best moment. He raised up those crutches and just what he did to get out of that country, which is amazing he was even able to do it, let alone on crutches. And I believed, you know, what the president said was that he lost his legs and train tracks. And just that whole story was just unbelievable. But that's one of the best parts of these speeches are the people that they point out in the balconies that have done amazing things. That, I mean, those people, compared to what we saw from the Democrats, I mean, it was such a contrast. Because these were people who sacrificed. They're not famous. They're not wealthy. And yet they were just doing things out of the kindness of their heart because they're just good human beings. And then you see people who won't even clap at a black unemployment rate at a historic low. Or for veterans. I mean, I'm just stunned. It looked so bad. And I hope, you know, I wonder if you're watching it. I watched it on Fox. I was wondering if it was being shown, and it was probably a White House feed or a congressional feed, so the same feed went out. And I was just wondering if they, like, purposely showed them during those times, like, on TV to just prove the point that how they're acting and how they're resisting everything.
You know, it's just sad. You know, this is the real problem, I think, Jane, and just in general. Look, you don't have to like Donald Trump. But he's only in there for 4 to 8 years, and the idea should be what's best for the country. And I think he did an admirable job on his four pillar plan about, you know, letting the Dreamers and or the DACA, you know, the whole deal. I thought he did a really good job there, and I don't know what they're complaining about there. I think that's an embarrassment in my opinion. What are your thoughts of that?
Well, I mean, I think it's just they're just looking worse and worse. So during the whole tax cut debate, you know, Nancy Pelosi and others are out there saying, oh, this is Armageddon, and, you know, the crumbs comment. And so, it got through, and immediately we started seeing companies give out bonuses and raise their contributions to 401k plans. And so they looked stupid in that argument. And then that night, when they just, like, sat on their hands, I mean, they were, like, had crazy glue on their seats. Like, they wouldn't stand up for anything. And they were just, like, making these weird, like, they had to put in these weird faces. I don't know, it was just unbelievable what I was seeing. And now, you know, with the immigration thing, and they're not even negotiating on that, and they're standing up for people who are not citizens. Like, it's like, come on, let's come together. Let's figure out a solution. I just think, I mean, I know history is, even in good economic times, the party that's in the White House loses the House, or loses seats at least. But I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in November. The stock market thing may upset, you know, the markets, may take a little bit of the steam out of the economic sales. But we'll see. I just think this is an unprecedented time, and they may not. We're back to house.
It's a natural thing to see a little selling. But more importantly, have you gone back to the podcasting for your financial education?
Okay, so I'm working on setting another one up. I had a crazy month of January, blizzards, birthdays, trips, jury duty, and so I have some in mind. So, yeah, that's my goal this weekend, to start the whole process again.
And that is why, Jane King, you are awesome. I'd say you bring good things to life like GE, but GE's got struggles, so we'll just say you just bring good things to life in general.
Amazon. We got to think of something with Amazon. They're ruling the world right now.
Unbelievable. Jane King, as always, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
That's our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. Really just a smart young person, young woman, and really helps us out with a view from the big city of New York, and checks in with us once a week. So this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And don't forget to get Bubba's daily updates, which you can get at bubbatrading.com. Email it to you. Just go up, fill out the form. We're going to stop out of a break and be back with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research after the break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're with our man, our buddy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check it out. And, of course, Matt, we have a last week or so, and number one was a lot of the credit and debit cards, the three majors, shut down. You cannot use them to purchase cryptocurrencies anymore. Does that have an effect? Does that mean anything to you, or what is that saying to you?
Yeah, no, it's one of multiple, you know, negatives. You had another with, so that's certainly negative. You had another with a coin called Tether, which is being used as a sort of a stable coin. It's connected. The word tether, the idea is that it's tethered to the U.S. dollar, so it should trade one for one. So it should always basically be one. And if you want to, the idea behind Tether is anytime somebody buys Tether, then they import, they buy a dollar and store it in the bank account, essentially. So every Tether needs to be backed up by a U.S. dollar. The reason that this would exist is because you have these crypto-only exchanges that do not accept fiat. So, you know, if you're in the crypto space and you're worried that the market is going to fall, a lot of times the whole crypto space will fall together. So, you know, you want to sell into something stable that you can, you know, sleep at night. You don't have to worry about lots of volatility. It's understandable, at least maybe for a portion of someone's portfolio. But the problem is that there have been some questions around whether Tether really had every Tether backed up by a full dollar. So they recently received a subpoena. I'm forgetting who, but it may have been the IRS. I'm not really sure exactly. But I need to check that out again. But there's questions surrounding it. I haven't talked about Tether before. We haven't recommended it ever because there were too many question marks about it. But the problem is that when you undermine that particular currency, there's a lot of trading pairs against Tether, and that hurt the market. So last week we saw a pretty good sell-off. There's still questions around it. And then you just had Bitcoin going lower. So you had those three things, you know, including the debit card issue, kind of all happened at the same time. And I think that undermined confidence a bit.
Now, you know, the blockchain technology obviously is a big thing, but, you know, my understanding of the cryptocurrency world is for basically total anonymity. And of course, with the blockchain, which is almost like an open general ledger, right? It's an open ledger. Basically, the minute you start, they can track your movement from, you know, basically at some point from birth to death. So where's the privacy come in through the blockchain? I think that's something that we need to talk about. I mean, I don't know that it makes sense that it's totally anonymous.
Well, what's anonymous is that what's pseudo-anonymous is the fact that there's no names attached. But what there is, what is attached are addresses. So if you can start, so there's, you know, addresses in, within the blockchain. It says this address sent 2 Bitcoin to this address. So if you can nail down, oh, I know this address belongs to, you know, Jane Q Public, then I know that Jane sent the two Bitcoin. Now we got to figure out who's on the other end of that transaction. And the FBI has been getting pretty good at figuring out all that stuff out. You know, working backward, probably through, you know, the banking system, saying okay, and possibly through Coinbase. You know, the, you know, IRS is all up in Coinbase's face, and you know, so it is quite plausible and possible that, you know, the FBI is tracking tracking the movement of Bitcoin between individuals through the blockchain. But I don't think they're, you know, this would be more for illegal activity that they're doing. This is not going to be for the average person. But it brings up the point you're making, is that you want to be anonymous in this type of currency world, and there are ways to make that happen. So what Monero does is it totally obscures the address of the sender and the address of the receiver. So although it may move from point A to point B, and both point A and point B know what happened, you know, the sender knew who they are, obviously, and they knew who they're sending to, potentially. Nobody watching the transaction from the outside can understand, you know, what got sent and to whom, or to what address. They won't know. So there are ways to be totally anonymous.
All right. Now, you know, I've talked in the past about some of these different wallets and whatever, and I know, you know, you and I both use Binance as one, and you had a concern about that it's in Asia, right? It could be a problem. So how do you feel with having money in Binance, having your wallet there, when there's so much argument about possibly shutting down some of these exchanges and not allowing these cryptos to be used or whatever? You know, I don't understand all the proper terminology. But does that concern you when you're involved and you have some of your money in a Binance that is in Asia?
Yeah, it does concern me. You know, the Chinese regulators have supposedly shut down all the Chinese exchanges, except that for whatever reason they're still operating. You can try to sign up for these exchanges. There's still volume going through them, which is a head scratcher for me. But yeah, Binance, you know, they have operations in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and they said a few other Asian islands, without naming what they are. The problem with Taiwan and Hong Kong is China makes claims on them, and that worries me a bit. It also worries me that last time I checked, which was a month or two ago, they didn't exactly say what their security measures were for being hacked or for anything else, really. They say they use best practices, which is great, but they don't get real detailed. So yeah, I'm overall concerned about Binance, but I think it's still very good as an exchange for transacting. But once you've bought coins there, it makes sense to put them in a wallet. So if you were to buy, you know, you can get these wallets. They're either hardware wallets or wallets you can put on your computer or phone, and you can store your currencies there as opposed to the exchange.
Oh, really? So I mean, like, so I have stuff. I have a couple of things in Binance, and I can store them somewhere else. We'll have to talk about how you store those things, because, you know, to me, it's a little complicated for an old man that doesn't know much about technology how all these things work, but. So you look at the space and what is your look at? We know that you've been a seller of Bitcoin since almost 20,000 and have continued to say that it's going lower. And what about if you were looking to buy today, what would you be looking for? Who are you looking at to become a buyer of right now?
Well, we have, you know, in our portfolio, we have a lot that I think will be big time, which we haven't talked about, and we're going to keep private for people that are, you know, already paying for that information. But, you know, I do think I don't think this is just going to be a one way, you know, drop for Bitcoin. I think it will, there will be a move back up at some point. And I, you know, I was really concerned. We were looking at RSI levels, monthly RSI levels, not dropping the last time Bitcoin took a big nosedive. This time, finally, the monthly RSI has been dropping. We're now in the 60s, which is, you know, not exactly oversold, but it's not radically overbought either. It's not in the high 90s. So I do think we're going to get a bounce back in Bitcoin at some point. I'm still not a buyer. I'm looking at a chart right now of Bitcoin Cash, which I don't think is all that much better than Bitcoin in terms of fundamentals. But if I don't mind giving out this projection, I'm projecting down to the 500s, the 600s. It's a rising target. So that I would be a buyer there, but that would be, you know, about 50% down from here.
Well, and again, not surprising. I mean, you've been on top of it since the beginning, and of course, you've traded it, you know, for the last 4 years or so. And I think you have a pretty keen understanding on how these markets work. And again, the beauty of these markets is they are truly free markets because they trade 24 hours a day through an exchange, and it's strictly a matter of the buyers and sellers to meet, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's. Technicals, you know, it's interesting. Technicals apply to everything. So, I mean, cryptos are no exception. And, you know, they've treated us pretty well. There are, you know, I'm still bullish on the whole space. And I do think there are going to be pockets of strength even in a down market.
No, I agree with that. I think that, again, I think that, you know, as I like to always compare to the Seinfeld line, they're real and they're spectacular, you know? I just think that, again, I do believe that we're going to see the crypto space. You know, I was not a believer, and I was convinced to be a believer, and I now understand, you know, all the value and things that come along with them. And, you know, I think the biggest problem you're seeing is that these governments can't figure out how to way to tax them, which is why they're so much against them. I mean, I'd bet a lot of money that although Jamie Dimon says they're crap and they're scams, that they have some, they're involved. I would bet that Goldman Sachs is involved. So I would say that all the people that bash them have some involvement in them as well. But we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. And we are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And don't forget to check out our high school program, highschoolinvesting.com. We're looking to continue to educate the youth of America, and I need your help. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you do, you will get a free week of our advisory service. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. We'll be back after the break with more of the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Again, this is the Bubba Show, and we're with Matt. We saw a pretty dramatic sell-off last week in the equity markets and in the crypto world, and even in gold, and even oil sold off a little bit. So what's the relationship between all of them? Is there something that you relate to all of them, or they saw separate independent events?
I think they're all pretty related, unfortunately. We looked at 2000. If you look at 2008, everything became correlated. Everything moved together, and I think we're getting towards the end of this bull market in stocks. And if we start getting another major bear market, I think correlations start to get closer to one. So. That will be a negative for cryptos.
Do you think so? Because I'm going to just interrupt you for 1 second, because I believe, now here's my thesis and my theory behind all this. I believe when the equity markets start to break down, that will actually be good for grains, cryptocurrencies, because I think that people are going to be looking for a new place to put their money. And grains, I think, are extremely undervalued at the levels where they're at, especially wheat and corn. And I think that the cryptocurrencies, are, you know, not Bitcoin, but some of the other ones are getting to a place where they become actually more of a value play if you actually believe in the space. And I think that, you know, I'm a believer. I believe. And I think that the selling will take money there, because we've already seen that Matt Demeter about a year ago called for the top of the bond market, and we've never gone higher since. So I think that, to me, it looks like that money has to flow somewhere. And I think it does flow into the cryptos and the grains. That's what I think. But give me your opinion.
Well, I think on a relative basis that would be it also depends on how bad is this. You know, I do think we're going to get a bear market. I think we're going to get a turning point this year. I don't think we quite made it this past week in stocks. But the question is, like, when we start really, if we go into a vertical drop in stock markets, like if it was another repeat of 08, then that's where I get concerned. If we get a slow grinding bear market, yeah, cryptos definitely outperform and they could easily go up. The grains have been beaten up. They're, you know, I don't think there's any selling left to be had there. So I think the grains would definitely outperform the stock market. I agree with that.
What about oil?
Oil, I would think, would fall.
I mean, I think oil's. I'm on record. I say oil's at the top. I don't care anymore. I mean, you could it spike above? Yeah, but I'm on a Twitter battle with somebody right now about the price of oil, and I go, I don't think it'll ever see 70 again. That's just my opinion. I just don't see the value there. I know you and I both have the long term view of oil that eventually will go back to about $9, but that's not for today. But I mean, what do you think? Is oil going down to the toilet?
Oil, I think, yeah, I do. I think oil is pretty much done. Look, you remember? We remember when oil was back in the hundreds, just, you know, a few years back. The commercial guys had shorted a massive amount of contracts. We're now almost at double the number of contracts we were at that point. So they're twice as short in terms of contract number, but of course the price of oil is lower, right? So in dollar terms, it's nominal dollar terms, they're about as short in dollar terms as they were back in the hundreds. So, you know, just looking at the smart money, they're heavily short, and they should know it's their business, because a lot of these guys are actual producers. So, you know, just from that point of view, I'm bearish on oil. The indicators are overbought. Long-term indicators are overbought. I don't see anything real positive going on with oil. I think we could go a little bit higher. I still have a target a little bit higher. It's a rising target, which is annoying. It's around 60, just low 68s right now. We might get up to it, but I'm already pretty heavily short, and I'm fairly comfortable with it, because even if you know, on a trading basis, even if it goes against me, I know there's a long-term, very good bear case against it. Oil, I'm definitely a bear.
No, I agree with that. I mean, again, I'm a bear as well, and for many reasons. But so when we look at, you know, the overall space, then you look at gold. Now, I found it interesting that gold did not perform well last week, again, with the cryptos, because you and I think agree that the cryptos and gold are kind of like an alternative investment spot. So I wouldn't think they would both go down at the same time, but they are.
Yeah, I mean, gold, I have an incomplete target up around, say, just above 1400, somewhere between 1400 and 1420. I would like to see that hit at this point. It has an incomplete target to the downside as well, though. It's, you know, around 1220.
Probably 900, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, eventually it's going to lower, I think. What I'm concerned about is if we do get into – this is, you know, further out. If we do get into a you know, a 2008 scenario, oil got crushed. Oil did get crushed, but gold got crushed, so did silver in the 08 scenario. The only thing that was working in 08 really was the dollar and treasuries. I don't think this time treasuries actually do well at all, except for a short period of time while you might be in a vertically dropping market. But to answer your question about gold, short term, I think we're still going higher. And then longer term, it's questionable. I think we have one more big drop ahead of us.
I think treasuries continue to get popped. I think the dollar will be the surprise of the year. I think the dollar is going to explode pretty soon here. I think the amount of pressure that they put on it, and again, I've said this on record, that one of the reasons the dollar will not go up right now is the Fed and the central banks around the world are pounding it, because that's an artificial way to keep the fast rising rates we're getting all of a sudden, with the 10-year at almost 2.9 or 2.8 and change, and the 30 well over 3% again. And the only way they can control it now is by trying to punish the dollar and keep that low, because that artificially keeps rates, at least of the appearance of being low, because nobody wants higher rates in the U.S. because they're also tied into this this cheap money that they all borrowed, and now it's going to explode against them. So I think that the dollar is going to be the surprise trade of the year, and that maybe the NASDAQ, because I know you still have that 8,000 target.
Yeah, well, I agree with the dollar, because I will say this, where we bottomed so far, I didn't think we were going to get down this far, honestly, in the short term, because I had short term supports that got that came in, gotten away before that 88.5 level. But 88 to 88.5, that area in the dollar, it coincides with a projection target up to 123 in a dollar. It's a declining target, but it's not declining very quickly. So let's just say minimum it can get up to 120 if it does not break the 88, let's say. So from 88 to 120, that's a massive rally. That's, you know, well over 30%.
Huge. And the funny thing is I would not be surprised. I would not be one bit surprised. I believe I'm a big believer that right now in the current market structure, without Bitcoin being that proper or the cryptos being that great, that popular yet throughout the nation, is that when the world is in trouble, it goes to three places, and that is the dollar, the bonds, and the U.S. Marine Corps. So, and I don't think the bonds are going to get it. I think the bonds are going to be the cause. In fact, I actually believe that this market, the black swan in this market, is going to be the Federal Reserve, and the way that interest rates are going to take off, and the way the dollar is going to take off to the upside. That's my opinion of what we'll see, the black swan. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. And, you know, what I'm seeing in the bonds, when we first started talking about where would you know, bonds peak, and we were talking about interest rates were obviously so low. And I was saying we're going to go to 11% in the 10-year. And I know that sounds outrageous, but that's what the chart says. It's a long-term chart. We're talking about years. But I think we've had the best of all worlds in many ways, both stocks and bonds, going up for decades. And now we could, you know, I think that could be the cause of the stocks market sell-off, is rates going higher. And we could have stagflation again.
Jimmy Carter, he's back. He's right back here on Crypto Investor X with Matt Demeter and Todd Bubba Horowitz. And Matt, it was a great show today. Always, you know, we're going to cover it all. And obviously, there's so many things we could go on for weeks about do this. And we will go on for weeks. We'll be on every week over the weekend at LibertyTalk.fm. And Matt, as always, it was great to be with you today. And we'll see you back here next week for the show.
Todd, always great.
This is The Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz and Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you check out Matt's site. And, of course, we're getting ready to launch a new cryptocurrency product, so make sure you check that out. But in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every single day at LibertyTalk.fm. And on the weekend, you can download our new show, Cryptocurrency X, Crypto Investor X. And don't forget to get Bubba's daily update, which is available to you free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and fill out the link, and you can get delivered to your inbox every day the daily update, which I do in a video. And, of course, that will do it for today's Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Same time, same station. See you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.